We're going to look at this incident in Mark chapter 3 and the opening verses, where we have the climax of this tide of opposition from the scribes and Pharisees, which began in Mark chapter 2 verse 1, and which is the framework where Mark uses the rising opposition to tell us about Jesus, who he is, and his mission, why he'd come to this world to give his life as a ransom for many. And in Mark chapter 3, we have another question about the Jewish Sabbath, when the Lord Jesus on a Jewish Sabbath day healed a man with a withered hand. And the opposition of the Pharisees against him reached its height. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against Jesus how they might destroy him. So here's a Jewish Sabbath day, our Saturday. We learn from verse 2 that the Pharisees were watching Jesus to see what he would do. Would he heal on the Sabbath day? The Sabbath given as a gift by God to men and women, but had been turned into a terrible burden by the man-made legalistic rules and regulations of the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus followed his ordinary pattern, did what he always did on the Sabbath, went to the synagogue after the Old Testament scriptures were read, and after he was invited by the leader of the synagogue, he taught the people the word of God. And as Mark is concerned to tell us good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we find here the fame of Jesus has gone through the area of Galilee. Many of the synagogue worshippers who were there with a sense of expectancy. Jesus spoke with authority. He'd healed all manner of diseases. He'd cast out demons by the word of his power. So there was doubtless an air of expectancy in that synagogue congregation on that Sabbath day. And Mark tells us this man with a withered hand was there. His hand had lost all its life. From the wrist down, his hand was paralyzed, useless, lifeless. Now there is an interesting tradition. It's not in the Bible, so we can't be dogmatic about it, but there is a tradition that this man had been a stonemason and had lost the use of his right hand in an industrial accident. So he was begging Jesus to heal him so that he wouldn't have to live as a beggar for the rest of his life. He was asking to be healed so that he could go back to work. Now that's an interesting tradition. It may be true, we don't know for sure. But what we do know is a man with a withered, useless, lifeless right hand was there. It's interesting that Luke, the doctor, tells us it was his right hand. And the Pharisees are there too, like an inquisition, watching every move that Jesus makes. And why are they watching him? Verse 2, so that they might accuse him. They wanted to bring a formal accusation against Jesus. So they may have been sitting there very piously. They may have joined in a word of confession of sin. They may have appeared to have been listening as the scriptures were being read. They may have seemed to be absorbed as Jesus preached, but Jesus knew their hearts. All the religious trappings didn't fool him. He knew their true intentions. They were there to trap him, to accuse him, to formally bring an accusation against him. And using your imagination, you can picture then what happened when Jesus spoke to that man with a withered hand and said to that man, "Step forward." And I'd have thought that every eye in that synagogue turned to the man with the withered hand. And there was electricity in the air. And there was tension crackling as that man stepped forward. And you can see it and picture it and feel it. So let's think first of all about the question Jesus asked, verse 4. Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" What was Jesus asking in that question? He was saying to these experts in the law, "You've come today to the synagogue, but you've come with evil in your heart. You've not come really to worship God. You've not come to sit under the authority of God's word. I know why you're here. I know you're here to see if I'll heal this man with the withered hand. You want to accuse me. You want to murder me, to destroy me. You are here on the Sabbath doing evil, plotting death. So Jesus says, let me ask a question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, which healing this man would be? Or to do evil, which even now you are plotting in your hearts? I intend to heal this man's lifeless right hand. You are plotting to kill me. What is lawful on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill? And those words of Jesus must have pricked the consciences of those proud religious leaders. I could ask any one of you here tonight, is it right to do good on the Sabbath day or to do wrong? Which is right, good or wrong? Is it right to save life or to kill on the Lord's day? Which is right? And anyone knows that the obvious answer to that question, you don't need to be an expert in the law, the answer is blindingly obvious. But notice the answer of the Pharisees, verse 4. But they kept silent. They were intransigent. They wouldn't answer. Why not? The silence condemned them. If they said, of course it's right to do good and save life on the Sabbath, then immediately that vindicated what Jesus was going to do, healing, and they would have no case against him. If, on the other hand, they said, oh, it's wrong to do good, it's wrong to save life on the Sabbath, the entire congregation, from the youngest child there upwards, would have said, you Pharisees are crazy. Everyone knows it's right to do good. Everyone knows it's right to save life on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees knew that Jesus had pinned them between a rock and a hard place. So they just sat there in self-condemned silence. There's the question. Secondly, the healing. Verse 5. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved at the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Before the eyes of everyone there, as Jesus spoke, in an instant, life came back into that hand. All the atrophied muscles swelled back to their normal size. All the tendons that had been tight and inflexible were back into use again. The man's right hand was as whole as his left hand. The instant Jesus said, stretch out your hand, as the man was healed. If you get the top surgeon from one of the top hospitals of London to examine those two hands, and you say, examine the hands any way you want, front, back, sideways, x-rays, CT scan, MRI scan, which hand has been healed? And the surgeon would have